Welcome to today's podcast, Pulling on Heaven 24/7. It's who we are. It's what we do. And we want to welcome everyone. Hope you'll get something that really ministers to you, really helps you today. I like today because the word says this is the day. We talk a lot about that, that God has made. So today, I hope you rejoice and you're glad. And as a matter of fact, I'm prophesying that you will. You'll get something out of this that's going to touch you and change you from this point moving forward. And I have the joy of having my youngest daughter, Lene, with me today, and she's going to do a podcast with me. We're going to talk about something really important, and that is basically satisfaction. How do you become satisfied, and talk about kind of feeling maybe empty or alone, and the fullness of God. So today is the Fullness of God broadcast or podcast. So welcome, Lene.
Thank you, Pastor Gary. How are you?
Doing good. You call me that all the time at home.
I do.
My daughter will always say, good morning, Pastor Gary. And it's kind of a funny little thing we do at home and so on and so forth. So good morning, daughter of Pastor Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing splendid. How are you?
I'm doing great. Did you come prepared?
I did.
All right. What we want to talk about today, I want to read a scripture. I want to talk about the fullness of God. And the scripture that it's talking about the love of Christ, and it says, we're in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. I'm just going to jump in the middle of it. So it says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. All of that's amazing. I mean, maybe comprehend who Christ is and his love is a big deal. And that's saying, that scripture is telling us that we, that potential possibility is there, and God wants us to be able to know what that means. And it says that you may, the reason is that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then it goes on to say, now to him who is able to do far more, speaking about God, far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to the power, talking about the power of God that works in us, and then to him be glory in the church and in Jesus, in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. So it remains to today. Today, though, a lot of people saved and unsaved, people that are believers, maybe not believers, have the tendency to struggle with being alone, feeling incomplete, or a hole in their life, or missing something. And it, you can be married and feel that way. You can be single and feel that way. I mean, all different relationships in your life, or lack thereof. And people can tend to, you look at an individual, maybe it may appear that they have everything in their life that anyone could want. You may even envy. Some people may envy other people, saying, wow, they've got everything. But that person they're talking about that they're envying may in fact be feeling an emptiness, or like something's lacking or missing. And the scripture right here in Ephesians chapter 3 says that God wants us to be made to be filled with all the fullness of God. And I said this in one of the podcasts, what is it about God? Would it be that you wouldn't want to be like, and, you know, and if Christ has filled us, could you really be missing anything? And it doesn't mean if someone's feeling empty that they don't have Christ. We're not saying that, sure. But the fullness of God is in you. Are you really ever lacking anything?
No. You know, we buy into this idea that peace and satisfaction is waiting for us on the other side of a situation. Could be a relationship or anything like that. I hear a lot of people my age say, oh, I'm in the waiting season, or even older, you know, I'm in a waiting season and it's not fun, but you know, I'm like, why not? Why isn't it fun? You're exactly where God has you right now. You're exactly where you're meant to be right now. And we, like I was saying, we have this idea that our satisfaction is on the other side of something, and it's not.
God
is giving it to you right now.
Why do you think it's not?
I think, honestly, several things. I think comparison, looking at other people, thinking, well, like you were saying, it looks like they've got it all together. Well, why don't I have this? Why don't I have that? And also just not having the revelation of who Christ really is in you. He is the fullness of all things. So how can I lack anything if he's the fullness of all things and he's inside of me? I can't.
Does it go away? Does it work for you?
But
It's just you and me right now.
It really works. It really works. And there's more. Yeah. No, when you just believe that, because we can hear it, we can hear God is everything, but is he everything in your life? Is he everything to you? Have you hit your knees and surrendered to him and just said, God, you know, it's funny. We'll say, God, you're enough. He's not just enough. He's everything. He's everything you could ever need. And that power that comes in you and you accept that and you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, it's just, that's what we're meant to do, right? We're meant to carry that power with us all the time and know that I lack nothing.
Yeah,
so, my God is so good, and how could I lack anything?
So that statement kind of like, and man, Lene, that's, if people get it beyond the word and they get the understanding, beyond the word of just hearing it as a word, it transforms you, huh? And yeah. It's almost like God is enough is almost like code for, I'm not completely there, but it's kind of the code for, it's my go-to.
Yeah.
God is enough.
Yeah.
But you're not really saying he's everything. You're saying, I mean, he's enough. I can make it through right now because God is enough.
Sure.
I mean, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not really a fun place to live either.
Yeah. Because you feel that emptiness.
You feel that emptiness that can only be filled by him.
Now, do you think it's wrong to feel empty like that?
No. I mean, yes. It's not how we're meant to feel.
Right.
It's not wrong to feel that way and then correct. Acknowledge this isn't who I am. This isn't how God has created me to feel. Because he's the fullness of all things. He wants to dwell within us. He wants to be that fulfillment inside of us. He
wants to be God in our lives.
Yeah, he wants to be God in our lives. And when we believe that, when that becomes who we are, when he's our everything, then he can bring to you what he has for you. But it's not because he's filling a void, because that void can only be filled by him.
Yeah.
We look around and, oh, I need a relationship. I need this and I need that. And that can more often than not leave you more empty than you started with.
Wow. Makes a bigger hole, huh?
It makes a bigger hole because you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
It doesn't work because
we
have that hunger because we're meant to hunger after him.
Yeah.
Only he can fill us. So you're collecting all these things and trying to fill yourself with these things and you're going, why don't I feel fulfilled?
Mm.
This isn't what I thought it was going to be at all. Well, that's because you're just looking in the wrong place, right?
Yeah. It's kind of romanticizing an experience that isn't...
We're good at that.
Yeah. That isn't... and we do it. A lot of times people do that based on what they've seen. And the word cautions us about that. You know, we're supposed to admonish and encourage one another, not kind of extract our reality from what they have. In other words, my dream is going to be like that. My dream is going to be like this, but rather say, God, give me my dream.
Exactly.
You know, what is it you want me to know? Here's what I've seen in the word and what I have understood, the revelation that I've got about relationship and with God is no one on the planet can fill something that God created for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that space, that empty sense, is a part of our design. I mean, we all have felt an emptiness, and instead of thinking of it as a lack, the way I came to understand it is it's a space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if something is going to go someplace, there has to be a space for it. If this table is filled with cups and books and things, I guess you could set it on a book, but if it spills, it gets on the book. So it needs its own designated place. You know, we have a clear table here, so I can pretty much set this cup wherever I want it. God wants that space where he can place himself in your life wherever he wants to. And you and I have talked about this. Relationship shouldn't take place because we feel a void. If people would stop looking for someone to come in their life to fill the void, instead of looking for the will of the Father to fill that void, then God brings a complete person to another person, and then that's a strong union.
Yeah.
When two people that are empty looking for that person to fill that void, they're going to fall short because that void was not created for another person.
Right.
Relationships are created from unity.
Mm-hmm.
That's what marriage is, the union or the unity of two becoming one. Well, if there's two incompletes, that doesn't make a whole.
No.
You have to have two complete parts. This half has to be complete, and this half has to be complete. So when they come together, they're a whole.
Yes.
And a lot of times people think just coming together will fix that. So if I could just find my guy, or I could just find my husband, my wife, then I'm going to be complete. But when you come to the revelation that Christ is my fullness, now there's someone God wants me to unite with in this fullness of who Christ in me is, that's going to be a great relationship.
Yes.
And God makes that evident too, because I think sometimes, and I'm going to ask you this question, do you think that any relationship can be built successfully when you are willing to compromise, even just a little, thinking that it'll change down the road?
No. I believe that a lot of our things that we have and that we want in a person, I know I have a lot of things that I want in a person, and I believe God has put those inside of me. And when you compromise in one area, it's never good. It's not good. You don't want to compromise at all. We've all been there at some point with something. Maybe it wasn't even a relationship. Maybe it was something else, but you compromise and you kind of veer off from what God has for you. And then you're still empty, and you're looking, like you said, no person is meant to fill that space but God. But then you end up looking almost for God in that person.
Yeah.
Like, fill me. You're messing up. You're not doing right here.
And it makes a relationship hard, huh? Because that emptiness will always be there until you acknowledge and understand. There's one thing to hear someone say it, but when you say, God, give me, the word says, with all your getting of wisdom, get understanding.
Yeah.
Understanding is important, which means what you've learned becomes a part of you. And you recognize that not just as something you want to become or something you want to happen. Again, that's Bartimaeus saying, today I'm going to receive my sight. The woman, remember in the Bible with the issue of blood, today when I touch the hem of his garment, it's happening.
Yeah.
It is happening. And that's when we say, Christ is the fullness in me. I don't need anything or anyone to be complete in who God has made me to be.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's going to complete me. But two complete people who know that, they come together, are two in agreement. And that's what marriage is two parties, two, you know, a husband and a wife coming together, a man and a woman coming together and becoming husband and wife. So that those two units become those two full, complete people in Christ, become a marriage.
Yeah.
A marriage isn't divided. A marriage doesn't mean it doesn't mean that people don't go through challenges and through different things that they work through, but they come into it as completeness, because you're always going to have experiences where your wife has one idea and your husband has another idea. But when you're complete in Christ, the love of Christ, the understanding of how important unity is, it trumps everything. So instead of coming together and arguing, you learn how to come together and agree. You find those points that you agree on. That's only going to happen if you come together complete. Otherwise, like you said, what happens is you come together wanting a person to fill that void. You should never come into a relationship because you feel an emptiness.
No.
You should come into a relationship with a fullness. It's kind of like, don't invite someone to dinner if you don't have enough food for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure there's plenty of food for both. Yeah. Make that moment complete. And it's the same thing. You wouldn't invite a guest to your house for dinner if you didn't have enough food to feed who you invited.
Right.
And sometimes we invite marriage into our lives or relationships without having enough food. You know, we're hungry. Come hungry and you eat all the food, theirs and yours. And someone goes away unhappy. But it's really important what you're saying, is that relationships aren't meant to fill the space that Christ has created for himself. So the most important thing is to say, God, I want everything that you have for me, and I don't want anything else. And where we started, I'm not going to compromise. And this happens. People will have, like you said, I have something I know God put in my heart. You've seen your counterpart.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone comes in as a representative of that counterpart. But you know there's elements of Christ that you have seen as part of your relationship that aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times out of desperation, individual will compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't have this, but maybe they can learn. Maybe they can get it. Maybe you shouldn't do that.
No, you should not do that, especially as a woman
or a
man. Is
that what you're saying?
Anybody, absolutely. Okay. You should, yeah, you should never, ever compromise in that way at all.
So keep your standards.
Keep your standards, because it's never good to go into something thinking, oh, well, maybe they'll get it. Maybe they'll change. Probably not. Unless they have an encounter with Christ and they surrender, can it happen? 1,000%. But to go into something, to go and grab something and take it, knowing this, maybe they don't have the relationship with God they should have, or maybe they're not spiritually strong yet, and you're, well, maybe they can get there. That's never a good idea.
Yeah, it's kind of like the tree in the garden. It looked good to the eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that may look good to the eye. Or, you know, I just want to try. There's something more that I need other than what God said to make myself complete.
Yeah.
Marriage is about two people understanding their completeness mm-hmm. in God. God created man and woman. He created Adam and Eve. And God was everything to them.
Mm-hmm.
And he was everything to them by his word that he gave them.
Yeah.
And God said, all you have to do to maintain the order of a joyful life and to live without shame and discouragement is to keep my word. Every tree of the garden you can eat, but that one, don't touch it. That's my tree.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad tree. It just, it's your point of obedience to me without compromising
mm-hmm.
What I have told you, without compromising who you know me to be and who you know me to be in you. And what God wanted Adam and Eve to know is you are complete in me and
exactly.
I am your fullness. You don't need anything else or any other voice to tell you that you're missing something and that they have what you need. And that's mm-hmm. what a lot of upside down happens. People,
I need this, I need that.
Social media. You know, you've got a lot of people talking about relationships and do this and do that. And I know because you've said, people will say, hey, have you done this lately? Or have you met anybody new? And it's just like new. What's new? What does that even mean? Instead of saying, what is God doing in your life? And has God introduced anything to you that you can share with me or we can talk about? You know, anything we can glean off of one another. And if we would understand that Christ has to be the center of our joy.
Mm-hmm.
And if when it's in anything, it's in business. We shouldn't enter into anything thinking that thing we're doing is going to fill that one specific void that God made for himself.
Mm-hmm.
He made that space, that void in us. So as Paul said, whatever state I find myself in, I can be content because God is the fullness of all things.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're there, then you can cultivate incredible relationships.
Right.
And if people have done that, they've stepped into a place, they realize this isn't what I should have done, that's when they need to take a step back and say, God, what is your will for my life? And whatever you tell me.
Yeah.
Just like God told Moses, just do what I tell you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses got in trouble because he compromised. He got a little upset. He got anxious. He got overzealous. God said, don't hit the rock. He said, speak to the rock. And it seemed pretty simple, right? But Moses went ahead and struck the rock because the people frustrated him. It's so important not to follow the lead of anyone but the Holy Spirit. God will lead you in everything, and no one else's opinion needs to govern you or guide you. Now, God can use people to speak prophetically, encouraging into your life. There's people that can mentor individuals. But when it comes down to God, I know what you've put in my heart. You stay that standard. You stay on that track. You
mm-hmm.
don't compromise it thinking, well, maybe that fruit will make me more like God, like Eve did with the tree. Mm-hmm. And I say often, it wasn't the serpent they needed to overcome. It was their own mind.
Exactly.
She started off right.
Yeah.
You know, God has said not to.
Mm-hmm.
He said everything else belongs to us. But this one thing is our position of faith and trust in God, that he is our everything and that he's given us all things.
Yeah. And that's why it's so important, too, to have that. No, God said this and I'm going to stay true to it, because there's going to be voices that come and say things, and not always with ill intent, but, you know, something will get in your ear and, oh, well, they said this, so maybe I do need that. Or someone said that, so maybe. But when you remember who you are in Christ and you remember what he said to you, you can just hold on to that. And speaking of the garden, I was talking to you and Mom the other day in the car, and we were talking about how, because and God will bring us the desires of our hearts, but we don't always know what those desires are.
Yeah. It's a surprise.
It's a surprise. I am thankful that God has not written my story based off of my emotions and my wants, because I have many times wanted something that just wasn't it. But
and when you got it, you knew, huh?
When you got it, you knew. Whoops. can we rewind real quick? Just real quick here. But I was listening to a podcast, and somebody had said, you know, I'm the waiting season and all that. And they said, you know, God said it's not good for man to be alone. And I got to thinking about that. And I was like, God said that when there was one man on the planet.
You know? So good,
and I'm not saying like God doesn't have someone for you and all that, but there's so much more to life than that. There really is, and He's got so much for us to do, and He has different things for us in each season, and each season should be the greatest season of your life and something we're enjoying, not I can't wait until this is over, you know, and all that. And God has put people all around you. You're not alone. How could you ever be alone with all the people around you, but also the main one inside of you? Yeah. He'll never leave nor forsake you. He's with us at all times. If I make my bed in hell, He's there. So how could I be alone? Man isn't alone.
That's so good. That's such a great statement. And sometimes I agree with you. People use that kind of as a go-to to say, hey, it's God's will. It's in the Word. So, I got to find that. Instead of God, lead me in the way that I should go. It will find you.
Yeah.
Seek first the kingdom and it'll find you. And that's the encouraging thing. It's coming.
Absolutely.
God knows everything that we have need of. And that's what the Word says. Don't seek after what the rest of the world says to seek after or that you need. Don't let someone tell you, unless someone is telling you you need Christ, you need to maybe question what they're saying, and they say you need. That's the serpent. You know, that's the snake in the garden saying, hey, have you considered, you need, instead of saying, I don't need anything. Christ is the fullness of all.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, when you think like that, Christ is the fullness of all things in me, as the scripture says, that we may know the fullness of God, the fullness of Christ that dwells in us, which means that empty void, that where you feel alone. When you feel alone, it's because you're not remembering. You're not coming to the understanding. That's why the Word says that Christ that surpasses your natural knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What is it that God doesn't have that we need?
Nothing.
No, there's not anything.
Yeah, and you'll hear that and you'll be very encouraged and excited, and then you'll notice slowly, you know, you can start to kind of veer off a little bit, and that's where you take dominion over your thoughts and you remind yourself of these scriptures and you go, no, this is who I am. And so you don't have to keep going back to that place.
I love that.
Each time you just, nope, this is who I am. This is who God has called me to be. And aren't we thankful that He doesn't do everything according to our wants?
Oh man. Nay, I thank God every day for leading me in the way that I should go. And, you know, I've thanked Him as much for closing doors as the doors that He's opened.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you believe, my steps are ordered of the Lord. That's what the Word says. I'll lead you, God says. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you in the way you should go. And again, our will is not a bad thing.
No.
But it should be seen in the right light.
Exactly.
Our will should be an offering to God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have really one thing we can bring to God, and that's our praise, our thankfulness, our will. We can actually bring something to God that He will accept from us, and that's our surrender, which comes in the form of praise and worship and faith. We can bring that before the Lord, and the Word says that He will receive it. Paul says, present yourselves, all that you are, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God. This is your worship. This is your true worship.
Mm-hmm.
And then God fills you, and He fills that void. So whether it's business or relationship or ministry, you go into it with a full consciousness of, I'm not doing this. I'm not getting married because I feel alone, because that person, you know, they're going to go to work, or they're going to go on a, you know, they're going to go somewhere. And that insecurity, that sense of alone, emptiness will infiltrate that relationship, and it'll show up in other ways. It's not going to disappear because someone comes into your life if you're depending on them to fill that void and to be that your everything. Yeah. Only Christ is your everything. But that individual is your partner in relationship with God. To become one. Well, you want to become one with something that is complete, not with something that is missing, because then you end up trying to fill that void even in when you get into the marriage. You're thinking, well, it's going to be fixed. You know, this will be fixed and that'll be fixed once we get married. No. And then it ends up becoming something bigger because you become discouraged because it didn't happen and now you're more angry and then you cast the blame on the other person. The other person cast. The whole point is come into a relationship in the fullness, in the full knowledge that Christ is everything in me. I'm not getting married or I'm not starting a business or I'm not starting a ministry to fulfill me. I am doing what I'm doing because Christ is the fullness in me and I'm going to share that fullness with someone that he's going to bring into my life that I don't have to compromise my convictions and my promises and my dreams in order to have what God wants. Believe God will bring someone into your life that is a unit, a unity with you.
Yeah.
And you're never going to do it because you just feel alone.
Exactly.
I love that what you said. God said that, and I have to be honest, I'd never thought about that, that God said it is not good for man to be alone because there wasn't another human being. But today, that's not the case, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no.
And it's not about how many people are here. It's about God was saying something.
Because that could get you in trouble too, thinking, oh, this person.
Yeah, God was saying something different.
Yeah.
So it really shouldn't be used in the sense of, hey, you have to have somebody. I mean, we want to look at Paul. Paul said, you know, if you can do this, you're better off to be like I am. So
sure.
You can find both sides of the spectrum in the Word. The question is how confident are you in who Christ in you is? How complete do you feel? And why do you feel that way?
Exactly.
Because...
Yeah. And it's not wrong to, like you said, it's not wrong to want that. It's not wrong
absolutely
to want somebody, but it is wrong to think that that is what's going to fulfill you.
Yeah.
And buying into the idea that I need this to be happy, because you don't. You have everything you could ever need right now, Christ in you.
Yeah.
That fullness that he is that we search for. And I just, yeah, it's when I hear like, oh, well, you know, you need this, you need that. And I'm like, no, that's a lie. And you're making people feel discontent. You're making yourself feel discontent. We've all made ourselves feel discontent, you know, thinking, well, I need this because how can I be happy unless I need this? This person has it and they have it and they're happy. You really don't know what their life looks like behind closed doors, and we just romanticize so many things, you know, like you were saying, we'll look and, oh, well, that looks great, and that looks great. Well, it's a picture on Instagram. So until God shows you what is great for you, and he brings that unit, not two halves, like we'll say my other half, no, two full people. When he brings that into your life, then it can be beautiful, right?
That's so good. Yeah, it's prophecy. It's living out prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And someone says, well, what are you talking about? Well, that God has put in your heart a prophetic word through a vision. Prophecy works through vision. Prophecy comes through dreams. Prophecy comes through I may call it epiphany, a revelation that just captivates your mind in a moment's time. But the point is you see the way it is meant to be. When before you and your sister were born, God gave me a dream of both of you, two babies. I saw the age difference. And I remember I was holding DeRay's hand in the dream and pushing you in a little stroller. Well, that certainly came to pass. And I saw when I saw it the way God revealed it to me, I knew what it felt like.
Yeah.
That and what it felt like wasn't just a feeling; it was the spirit of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when your sister was born, I felt the spirit of that dream. When you were born, I felt the spirit of that dream. And it's staying connected to what God has said and not what people are saying. So, you know, I'm thinking here as we're talking prophetically, because our ministry is prophetic,
yeah.
Meaning we are here to walk in the fullness of the Word of God. Steve and I were talking about it in one of the podcasts, you know, what is time? Time is an event. What event is that? When we walk out what God has said to us,
yeah,
about us. So a strong relationship. And do you want anything less than that? I mean, do you want a relationship where you have to fight to try and get to a certain point with the other side? And then there's contention, and what a relationship is about is no longer about that. It's about trying to glue back all the broken pieces instead of, and you can start this. Someone that's been married for a long time can take this revelation and transform their married life.
Absolutely.
Right now. And this word also speaks into matchmakers. You know, maybe pay a little bit of attention. Maybe not come up to someone and bring a word of dissatisfaction to them. Maybe a word of wisdom would be more like, you know what? God will bring you exactly what he has, and you'll know it when he does. But until then, you're so complete in who Christ in you is. Instead of the serpent saying you're missing something, you know.
You're getting older.
If you really want to know God, yeah, or you're getting older, you know, you're getting older. The clock's ticking away, you know. You're going to only be able to bake bread for so long before the oven goes out. So it's just like, no, come on, man. Listen, God will order my steps. Sarah was almost 100 years old. Abraham, 100 years old. I'm not saying that.
But I'm just only 98.
You're only 98, so you have a couple of years to go. But it's stepping away from the fear factor of that you're missing something is the whole point, and saying, Christ, you're the fullness of all. So you don't make those decisions that you then regret and have to go back and try and overcome. And too, for married couples that are saying, you know, and sometimes people are speaking to someone else out of their dissatisfaction. I sometimes wonder if they don't want them to join in them, you know, the person they're talking to join into their misery,
right?
You know, so encourage at all times. The word says we're to encourage one another, not make someone feel inferior or lacking in a certain area of their life, but be walk in the fullness of God and just declare, you know, I'm walking in the will of the Lord today. God's fulfilling his purpose in my life today. And there isn't anything or anyone there isn't anything or anyone that I'm missing or lacking in my life. God has given me today the fullness of everything that I need today. And I am thankful to be in the position I'm in today because God made it this way.
Yeah.
And give God the credit and the glory. And then what it does is it opens your mind up to see things that maybe you weren't aware of that you needed to see before you get into a relationship.
Absolutely.
And I think you've shared that with me.
Yeah, he makes all things work together for good. In the moment, you know, it might be like, why is this happening? This isn't fun, you know, or whatever. But it's like an analogy that you gave me that I really liked is, and you probably said this in church a million times, is before you're going to tie a rope to something and try to pull a car with it, you're going to test the integrity of that rope. You're going to see how strong it is. And that's what God does with us, with our character. You know, it's funny, people have asked me and Dre, my sister, many times, have you guys ever had a time in your life when you had to call on God for yourself because like your dad's pastor and everything? And we laugh and we're like, yes, we have many times. You know, he tries all of our faith, but it's for our good and it is going to produce steadfastness and stuff that you're going to need later on in life and character that you need built. Growing up in the church, you have a lot of character building moments and it's good.
Yeah.
And it shapes who you are and it shapes your future and it's good. It's a good thing. If you look at it the right way, it's a good thing. Not as the devil, this or that, or this trying time, but don't call what God is doing the devil just because it doesn't look the way that you want it to look. God doesn't do everything on our timeline or much anything. And that's good because we're not God.
Yeah.
And we're not meant to make these decisions, but he's so good and faithful and just all things good.
All things good. You know, it's important to know that, and I say this all the time, because to really understand it means so, so much. My steps are ordered of the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm right where I need to be today. But encourage yourself in the Lord. How do you do that? I'm right where I need to be today.
Mm-hmm.
God has given me everything that I need today. I want this and I want that, but to whom much is given, much is required. So the question is what you're wanting? You know, in say someone or a relationship, are you that?
Right.
Will you be to someone else what you want them to be, who you want them to be to you?
Right.
Are you that person?
Is there some growing that needs to happen?
Yeah,
there?
Because just think there's someone else on the other side that is believing the same way you are.
Right.
So are you that? If we become complete in who God has called us to be, he has that complete connection for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same in business. It's the same in ministry. It's the same in anything. Stop trying to mimic what someone else has done. There's only one pattern of our life that we're to follow and to take on, and that's Christ. And if we really, really believe and understand, God, you're the fullness of all things in me, that then again, we time travel. We can expedite those moments. Yeah. It's kind of like when you feel like you don't need anything, then everything comes.
Sure.
When you feel like you're complete and you're full, then it seems like you're overwhelmed with more fullness,
right.
Exceeding abundantly beyond all you know to ask or think. Do you think God may know something about you you don't know? You think there's maybe something God wants to do in you that you're not aware that needs to be done? He said his ways are higher and far beyond our ability to even comprehend. Do you think God's helping us comprehend some of those things more concisely and more clearly? And I believe the answer is
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has so much better for us than we want for ourselves. And that's why he'll move us around. And, you know, we're his clay.
Yeah.
So can he not do what he wants with his people? And I have been in those times, too, of feeling lack. I've told you and Mom about it.
Yeah.
So I'm not just saying, oh, well, like, my life is perfect. I'm all good. But it is. It is perfect. It's all good. But, you know, we can all feel that way. But there is a way out. We don't have to feel like this is just how it is. It's not. That's why I wanted to talk about this with you today, because there is freedom from that. And it's a trap you can fall into in your own mind, stuck on a loop.
Talk about that. That's really good. I think that helps a lot of people.
You helped me a lot with this. God is obviously giving you a lot of wisdom. And I was having an issue with something, and I kept going over it over and over again in my head. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was just mentally tired and exhausted. And I'm like, what do I do? And you told me, well, you're on a loop. You have to create a new highway in your mind. You have to, you know, when something happens, you try to figure it out and you try to think your way out of it. Have you ever been where you're like, if I could go back, I'd say this or that. And it's like, no.
Sure, sure.
You don't need to rehearse in your mind.
Yeah.
It doesn't change anything. It just keeps you on that loop. And you think, well, once I say this, come back in my mind, it's going to be over. And it's like, no, that's not true at all. But you can break that pattern. You really can. And something you said to me is when your mind starts to go into those places and it starts to loop on lack or things that have happened in the past, you can out loud say, stop.
Yeah.
And put your mind on Christ, put your mind somewhere else. And that absolutely works. I've done it several times and it renewed my mind and it changed me. And so I just want to say that there is a way out, that you don't have to live in that or buy into the idea that, oh, well, it's just how it is, because it's not. And it's not how God created us to think or to rehearse things. You know, like Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward to the mark, the prize of the higher calling. And that's what we're called to do. And there's so much freedom in that. It's a gift.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pose a question and then I'll answer it according to the scripture. Forgetting those things that are behind. How do I do that? Press forward.
Right.
Say, I wear a hat all the time that says, it is
finished.
It is done. It is complete. So this session of my life, it's finished. Let's move on. So that's how you get out of that loop. How did they get out of the wilderness? What kept them in the circle? They kept saying, we need. God, why don't you? Why didn't you? Why, you know, we want meat. We want bread. I mean, no matter what God did, until they just said, Caleb said, hey, we're more than able. Let's just go forward. Let's not wait. Let's forget what we can't do and how few we are and how many. Let's just do what God said.
Right.
He said, move forward in faith. Take a step of faith and just say, whatever that thing that's keeping you in that circle, it is finished. I press forward for the mark of the prize of the high calling. And then you begin to prophetically declare, God said he's with me. He said he's leading me. He said he's guiding me. And I'm filled with joy. This is the greatest season. Your mind, I say all the time, your mind, you can transform your mind. Don't be conformed, be transformed by the rebirth of your mind. How do you do that? By the words of your mouth with understanding. What I'm saying, when you say words that are affirmative according to the word of God, it's like Jesus said, these aren't my words. These are the words of my Father.
Right.
And he's working his will through me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's God doing the same thing with us. You just say, stop, finished, move on. Here's the new scenario.
And this, it is that easy.
It is that easy.
It really is. You think, well, it's easier said than done. It's really not. It just takes you changing your mind, having your mind renewed.
Yeah.
And it really is that easy. We make it hard. It doesn't have to be. It really doesn't.
Well, if you can keep yourself in a loop, which is pretty hard, I mean, it can drive you crazy, right?
Yeah.
We can certainly change decide to go on a new road. You're driving down the street and you ever change your mindset? I'm going to go, you're headed to the grocery store and you think, oh, I'm going to pull over to the service station first. You can make that turn. You mm-hmm. can do the same thing in your mind. I'm going here first. I'm going to take care of this first.
Right.
And this is saying, God, you've orchestrated my straighted my steps. And first of all, I just want to be thankful. Thankfulness is a huge part of getting off that road. I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. I'm thankful for the experience that I just had that I didn't enjoy naturally because you just took me beyond me to reveal you. So thank you for that. Thank you. Instead of blaming a devil or a person or getting upset, God, blame God for everything.
Yeah.
You know, God, you're the one that orchestrated this. Not any evil, not bad, but you're orchestrating your perfect will in my life. Thank you for this. I mean, was it God's will that Daniel went into the lion's den? I believe it was, of course. And God was with him. Why? To show not only Daniel, but the nation that God is with his people. If you will trust in the Lord, even if the king makes a decree and has to follow through on that command, even if people are against you or upset with you, God's will always prevail.
Always.
So keep your heart set on what God says. Don't compromise for anything. And if what people are saying is not what God is saying to you or about you, don't believe it to be true. Test the spirits. Try the words. See whether or not they be of God. And if not, then move on to a different season of your life and trust God is with you. He'll never leave or forsake you. And we say this all the time. This is
the greatest season of my life.
Amen. Linnae is so great. I call you Linnae all the time. The viewers mm-hmm. may not know what that means, but it's just short for Linnae. And Pastor Gary.
Linnae and Pastor Gary's podcast today. And
Pastor Gary, thank you for joining me on the podcast today. I always love it. Enjoy it. We'll do this a lot more.
Yes.
I love you, and I thank God for you, and thank you for sharing.
Too.
I know you helped a lot of people. Keep in mind, let God be the voice that guides you and leads you. No man has the power to direct your life or to misdirect you. If you trust in the Lord, give ear to God, be still and know that He was God, that He is God, and He will lead you in the exact way that He wants you to go. You won't miss a thing. Not a second, not a moment of the day will go by without God guiding you in His perfect will, and in His will is the fullness of joy. God bless you. Until next time.